What's up and welcome to the Kinda Funny Games cast, where each and every week we get together to talk about video games and all the things that we love about them. Of course, I am Tim Geddes. I'm joined by the new face of video games, Blessing Eddie Oria Jr.
What's up, Tim?
The master of hype, Snowbike Mike.
Mike.
The Nitro Rifle, Andy Cortez.
Hello.
The best voice in the business, Paris Lilly.
I just saw a puppet.
Yeah, we did.
And the big daddy himself, Greg Miller.
Kojima's coming home.
He's coming home, baby.
Coming home.
Coming home. He's coming hard. You know what I mean?
Ew. Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah,
we just watched the PlayStation State of Play for January 31st, 2024. We're going to break it down, everything that we thought about it. But if you love what we do, please support us with the Kinda Funny membership on Patreon or YouTube to get all of our shows ad-free. You can watch us record them live, and you get a daily exclusive show. You can get the games cast for free with ads and without the exclusive content on YouTube and podcast services around the globe. Shout out to our Patreon producer, Delaney Twining. Thank you so very, very much for helping us keep everything going. But I want to get right into it. Paris, you joined us. We have a full cast today.
Yeah.
Six people reacting. We had you in the studio, so it's like we got to yeah. go for it. You didn't talk much during the live reaction. You were real quiet. You were taking it all in. Now I want you to let it all out. What'd you think?
I thought, for being a state of play, and you know, they set expectations ahead of time. We obviously knew about a lot of these titles that were coming. It was solid. It was solid. I definitely saw, I would say, out of what, about the 16 things that we saw during this reveal, probably half of them are things that I definitely want to play. I want to check out. Clearly, all the Kojima stuff at the end was, you know, mind-blowing. But I think about Stellar Blade, that's interesting to me. Ronin, that's going to be interesting to me. The Metro VR, I was like, please be in 2024 because we need something on PlayStation VR 2. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to what we saw today.
Did we get a date for Metro?
No, they just said 2024. So
okay,
still TBD.
Cool. Greg Miller, what did you think of that?
I don't even know if I can answer that question. Woo. You know what I mean? Because I was enjoying it fine. I enjoy a good look at games. Yeah, you know, a lot of them we'd known about. Some of them had leaked in a tweet that Blessing acts like he wrote but didn't. Mm-hmm. But to get there at the end and have Herman stand there with Kojima, you know what I mean? First off, the Death Stranding trailer. Just nonstop insanity, right? Troy Baker out there with his guitar sword. Hell yeah. What I like to think of is when Kojima finished this trailer and then was like, Jordan, look at this. Jordan Peele watching this fucking insanity. Man, but then to have him and Herman up there, right? And guess what? We're partnering for another game after Death Stranding 2 that's going to be a return to tactical espionage from Hideo Kojima. And him to say, like, you know, it's in 2 years, it's my 40th anniversary as a game creator. This is going to be my definitive work. Are you fucking kidding me?
Like, come on.
Are you fucking kidding me? So, I mean, what a show. What a show. But how much of that is just spiked by an amazing ending? We'll get into it.
Andy Cortez.
I thought it was awesome. I was not expecting to see Judas. I wasn't really paying attention to any of these leaks or whatever. So I thought Stellar Blade looked cool, even though it wasn't showcased in the best way. I thought a lot of the visuals were awesome. Combat and enemy variety looked really creative and weird as well. Yeah, Judas looked awesome as hell. Rise of the Ronin, intrigued by the gameplay, still kind of disappointed by the overall presentation. I just feel like they're never going to make a game that like visually looks awesome. The characters will always look really good when they're close up, but everything else kind of looks flat-ish. So that kind of bummed me out. But I think the gameplay still looks great because I've been wanting another Ghost of Tsushima for quite some time and that kind of open world style samurai game. And I'm kind of blanking on everything else aside from like what we just saw from Kojima, which is just upping the weird shit every time, you know, like what are some weird at that puppet on the, I was like, that's what is going on right now.
Like, dang,
yeah, it had the Spider-Verse like 12 frame per second thing going on there. I'm just kind of really intrigued by his mind and what's going to happen with this action espionage game. Super exciting.
The Navi in there too.
Yeah. It's like, it felt, yeah, very, very odd, but, I'm stoked for it. I'm shocked that we're still getting a Death Stranding 2 sequel. I can't believe like that always just felt like a kind of one and done. Let me explore this weird thing I wanted to do. But I can't wait for it because it does seem to be, you know, once those DLCs kept on dropping, they got more and more kind of action oriented. So I'm stoked to see what they're bringing to us.
Mike.
Oh, come on. What a fun afternoon of video games. I saw games that spoke to me, saw games that didn't speak to me. I also saw games that are dropped today, and I love that, yeah. Right? I think we all love a good little stealth release, something we can turn on our PlayStations and play right now, which is always special to me. But, I mean, these guys highlighted a lot of good ones. Dragon's Dogma continues to wow me every time we see it, and it's just right around the corner, which is the coolest part about that is, like, That game is almost here. And we're going to jump into that. And hopefully it is as awesome as we all want it to be, because I am ready to accept that into my life and play a bunch of it. I mean, we get Helldivers right around the corner. That's a must-see. Foam Stars, yeah, I'm going to play that with my friends and laugh. V Rising coming to PlayStation. Me and Andy played that once, and we threw it away, and I'm looking back to get into it because it was fun. It was cool. It was stylistic, and I want to try it again. So, yeah, what a good afternoon and so much more.
Bless.
Yeah, I feel like State of Plays are like a box of chocolate where you just have no idea what you're going to get. And this is one of those ones where halfway through I was like, okay, cool, it's a fine State of Play, and then you get the Kojima stuff, and I get what... Right now, bathing in the hype of it, I think that might be my favorite video game trailer of all time. The fact that we had something so beautifully rendered while also so fucking weird and so fucking like well-paced moment to moment of I don't know what is about to happen in this trailer. And it really delivered on getting me excited for the new Death Stranding, right? I'm already excited for the new Death Stranding because I really love the first Death Stranding. But, you know, Kojima really flexing a lot of the muscles of, hey, like... I still have things to say. I still have things I want to do with this franchise. You know, I think it was Andy that mentioned that, like, you know, Death Stranding always felt like something that was going to be one and done. And to find way more ideas, way more creativity here, way more things to do with, yeah, Troy Baker's character having the fucking guitar that he's using to fight a cyborg ninja, like, it would, you know, fun throwback. But like that, all the stuff he's doing in this trailer, I think is fantastic and really, really got my attention. But then, yeah, I go through the rest of the State of Play, and I think it has its ups and downs. I look at the Stellar Blade trailer, and I'm somebody who has been asking for Stellar Blade for the last year, ever since they announced it, and we've gotten more additional trailers for it. This trailer didn't do much for me. Like, this is the one where I'm like, ooh, you know, I think it was, I think the trailer was badly cut, even though a lot of the content in the game itself looks like it's going to be good, look like it's going to be fun, right? Like, a lot of it feels like it's taking influence from Platinum Games and what Nier has done in those games as well. And, you know, I think there's a lot of promise, but this trailer just wasn't a great example of how to show off this game. But then you also have a couple of other announcements like Sonic Cross Shadow Generations and also Until Dawn Remaster, where, you know, we talked pre-show about how most of the content of the State of Play has either been reported or leaked. And so we've had a good idea of the bulk of things that are going to be here. And those are two things where it's like, all right, depending on how you show those things or what you have to say about them, this could be exciting. It could maybe fall flat. And for me, Until Dawn is one that fell flat, right? Okay, you're doing just a re-release on PS5 for a game that I think is already playable on PS5. You have it backwards and battable. All right, I guess. And then, yeah, Sonic and Shadow Generations, that's an exciting announcement. I would love to see more about why that's exciting. Like, what is the shadow part of Sonic Generations that you're adding? Like, I think that would have been an opportunity to give more info, and they didn't really do a great job of elaborating. Hey, Sonic fans, this is why you should be excited about this thing beyond just seeing a picture of Shadow. And so,
can I toss in a little bit of information from press releases for you to answer that?
Go for it.
It's not much. This is, of course, Sonic Cross Shadow Generations. It's a greatest hits playlist of iconic 2D and 3D Sonic levels from Sonic Generations, both remastered and expanded for PlayStation 5 and PlayStation 4. But that's not all. Sonic Cross Shadow Generations also introduces an all-new standalone campaign for Shadow the Hedgehog, making this the definitive blend of classic Sonic, modern Sonic, and Shadow gameplay.
Which is incredible, and they should have talked about this in that trailer, because I think that would have been the thing to make me and Tim go, fucking go. Yeah, but I feel like it was still like a bit unclear. Like, they saw Shadow content, but it wasn't like...
That was all new, though.
Yeah, but I still think there was a level of confusion towards the end of it of, okay, but how much of that is that, right? Like, is this going to be half the content in the game, or is this going to be a bonus level or a few, right? I think that would have been a thing to elaborate on. But regardless, sure. I think overall this State of Play was good. You know, I put it at the solid good.
Yeah, I think this is definitely one of the better State of Plays, and I think a lot of the criticisms we've had of not having people on camera and not having a nice flow to it, they solved a lot of those. I still think that there's a unevenness to how they present the games, and yeah, Stellar Blade especially, like, kind of starting off with that. Helldivers 2, starting off with that being more of a commercial, I think that's good. We always talk about how when we're predicting State of Plays, it's like, are they really going to talk about the games like Foam Stars and Helldivers that are so imminent? And I think it's a good idea for them to do that, remind the people, especially for things on PlayStation Plus, like Foam Stars, just to remind people, hey, there is stuff coming to PlayStation. You're going to be able to get it in case you didn't see the announcement at Summer Game Fest or whatever. But going into that Stellar Blade, it just wasn't the right way to show the game. And it kind of like set the tone as like, I don't know about this. And it's going to make the feel the 40 minutes of this State of Play kind of drag a bit. But once we got out of that, I was kind of like, oh, cool. We moved on. Like, I feel like the clip of games we got was interesting. A lot of cool updates on things that we've been wanting updates on. I really don't like when we see things like Zenless Zone Zero again, and it's like, what's the new information here? Right, like, we're just seeing the game again. So again, not perfect by any means, but yeah, you get to all that Silent Hill stuff. Having a shadow drop game for something that actually looks really cool and interesting is super fun. I just think we're off to a really good start in 2024 when it comes to game showcases. The Xbox Developer Direct, and now this, it's like, this is what I want to see more of. Like, they kind of came forth and were like, these are some things that are going to be part of this, and that alone would make the state of play exciting, the Xbox Direct exciting. You add so much more stuff, and it's like, oh, this is great. That Death Stranding 2 trailer was incredible. I'm not interested in the game. Didn't love the first one, but looking at that, I'm just like, I can't wait to see more of this, and seeing Kojima just be full Kojima with the long, crazy trailer, it's one of my favorite things in games, and like that just delivered. That moonshot was just like, I can't wait to watch that in 4K. That
was ridiculous.
Utterly insane. And the whole time I was just like, man, I just wish it was Metal Gear. I just wish it was like more of a style that I actually want. And then they make that announcement at the end. And I'm just like, this kind of sounds like dream news to me. I'm a little concerned. You start looking down the pipeline. You're like, all right, we got Death Stranding 2. We got OD. We got some movie projects. Then we're going to start talking about this.
Someone tweeted in response to mine that he was like, they were like, Hideo just announced the first PlayStation 6 game.
Yeah. Which, hey, I'm not mad at. It's just,
me neither.
It's going to be a long wait. It's going to be a long wait. But yeah, let's get into things kind of a little bit more step by step here.
Day by day.
Day by day. We're starting off with Helldivers 2. Just a quick little.
Let's go. I'm ready. Yeah. Can't wait. Yeah, you know, I talked about this today on Games Daily. Our plan, unless something dramatically changes, is that, of course, we don't have Helldiver codes. I think they're waiting for servers. So our plan is going to be just like we do with Suicide Squad. So Thursday the 8th, when this drops, I'll be playing at my desk. Games Daily will happen. We'll go live with the Jabroni Kids. Stream until we then do a PS I Love You live in the afternoon to do our thoughts and reviews so far. But Helldivers, I can't wait for. Everybody knows that you know how much I enjoyed the first one. This one looks rad. You know, the customization of your spaceship there looks really neat. Obviously, I love the splatter back. I love the fact that it's bugs. I love everybody getting canceled, or killed by their own people, I should say. Excited to know more about it and play more.
So you have played this, right?
No.
Oh, okay. Cool. Like, looking at it, how it differs in perspective from Helldivers 1.
Right.
Do you think that that's something that is exciting to you?
Yeah, I don't need Helldivers again. You know what I mean? Like, I loved Helldivers and I enjoyed it, but I want a modern take on that. If getting us closer down here, especially with as much customization as they were showing in that trailer, if getting us that close, giving us that much detail, especially for it being a PlayStation 5 game, I would think a lot of you know, the more top-down aesthetic we had before. Remember, this was a cross-play, cross-buy, so you could play it on your Vita as well, take your save with you, do all that. I would think some of that was tied in there, right? Of like, oh, that's a cool gimmick and thing to be able to do with that. Since we don't have to do that anymore, thanks to the PlayStation Portal, am I right, ladies and gentlemen? We can, you know, get in there and just have it look as good as it came.
This looks like a cross-play Starship Troopers to me.
Sure.
So I'm definitely interested in it.
I would say even to a...
Oh, did I say cross-play? I meant co-op. See, you got me saying
cross-play. Well, cross-play works because it's PC, PlayStation 5.
That's right. Well, that's what I'm worried about. Like, day one, are we... like, if I, you know, if I'm hopping on my PC, are you going to give me in the PC community... give us shit if it doesn't work day one.
But I mean, that's just because what I have to do. I'm sorry. That's just the
character. You don't.
At this point, I'm too locked into the bit. Because okay. I get all these PC dorks saying all the time, I love it. Control, Alt, Delete. That's what they say.
That's what they say.
That's his best Nick Scarpino impression.
But no, to the Starship Troopers, I've always thought of it as if you've never played Helldivers before, not a... I guess, yeah, harder, but I would say a more complex Earth Defense Force, right? And I think that does speak to some people. Yeah, right. Get out there and kill a bunch of bugs, earn a bunch of stratagems, and go out there and have some fun.
And then Herman Holst on camera. Greg, were you surprised to see this?
Yes, I guess when you guys were like, no, Sean was on last time, I was like, oh, right, I missed the last State of Play. I was gone for that, so I didn't even realize Sean was on there, who I know so well. Hey, Sean, sorry. I love that. Hey, gamers, it's time for a State of Play. And now our friends, that was... That is what it is, but you know, for something we talk so much about and the criticism of every showcase being, it's all marketing, it's all commercials, blah, blah, blah. You don't need to talk to it. It's like the fucking newbie minute or whatever, right before the movie.
Where's Maria Menounos?
Yeah.
By the way, who knows? Anyways, we're doing a WrestleMania show soon, you know? Maria Menounos loves wrestling, WWE. I want her on that. If anyone has any kind of connect to her, let me know so I can actually pitch it rather than just fire off a tweet to everybody going, hey.
Hey, you want to come over here and do it?
And then Stellar Blade, Bless. I know you already talked about it a little bit, but keep going.
Yeah, I mean, I'm pretty much where I was at with it before of like, cool. The game looks like it takes a lot of inspiration from Nier and a lot of other action games that I like. And so if it gives me more of that, cool. I think a lot of the characters, a lot of the enemies and stuff they showed look interesting. There was a dog that had like a hand for a head. I thought that looked really cool. And I think the what they're doing with the creature design, but then also the machine design, but then also the creature and machine design kind of coming together. I think a lot of that stuff looks interesting. Some of the stuff they're talking about in terms of narrative and story here didn't really stick to me. I think the again, this comes back to the way they presented the trailer. A lot of it, I'm not here sitting here being like, yeah, and like I can't wait for to fight the big villain, or like I can't wait to tackle this narrative about whatever the fuck they're talking about, right? Like none of it really hit in that way for me. But I'm looking at it and I'm like, yeah, this looks like a cool action game. I'm down to try it. But I do wish that the trailer had something a bit more memorable for me.
I want to circle back on that because both of you commented on the trailer not being good, and I agreed somewhat, but I was just playing Final Fantasy VII Remake on stream, and Mike gave the most epic breakdown of all of that of all time, so that was fresh in my head as I'm watching this, so I saw a lot of beats from that, and I'm like, that looks cool to me. Ooh, I would love to do that battle, you know, so it spoke to me in that way that, yeah, I want to play it, but yeah, the trailer could have been better, for sure, the presentation of it. But I saw enough good bits in there that, yeah, I believe it was what, yeah, March it's coming out. I definitely would want to play.
Yeah, like a simple recut, and even just watching this with no audio, this looks amazing. Yeah.
Honestly, like no audio, seeing the B-roll, I'm like, actually.
without the music and without the narrator, there is so much good to show there. Maybe just cut out the bit where she's pushing the block, you know what I mean? And,
yeah,
and maybe sitting down to like rest at the
there
campfire
are some cuts
or whatever.
Where like they cut to a shot and you can see like the QTE button like fade away. And it's like, what are we doing here? Like, yeah, you guys could have done this trailer a lot better.
Other than that, the enemy design looks awesome as hell. And so much of the visuals look goddamn good. And that when you get close up on these characters' faces and they're so like emotive, and all the detail and the hair strands, everything looks fantastic. I can't wait. It's gonna be awesome.
I'm torn on it because looking at it, like a lot of it seems cool, but I feel like it has the jack of all trades, master of none vibe going, where I'm just like, it reminds me of a lot of games I like, but doesn't seem like they're doing those things as well as the games that I like.
Yeah.
But we'll see. I'm hoping for this one. I think that it could pull off one of those like cult classic type.
And that's where I'm at in terms of like, I want to feel the identity of the game. Because I'm with you. It was like, yeah, okay, there's Nier. Okay, there's this, there's that. But I want to know, what is Stellar Blade? Like, what are you bringing to the table that's going to make me go, oh, y'all got to check this out, and not just be like, oh, yeah, well, I could go and play this other game.
In chapter 3, she looks at it, she goes, do you want to know why I don't have fabric around like the inner part of my thighs? You know why that part is uncovered? You get the lore there.
That's where I get the most heat. Yeah. It just builds up there.
And then Sonic Cross Shadow Generations, autumn 2024. Really weird way to say that. Also, later than I would have expected this.
Yeah.
Because again, I was explaining this on Games Daily a couple days ago. Like, this is a PS3 and 360 game, Sonic Generations, that already, even on the Xbox One X, when they released that, it up-res things so you could play this in 4K 60. So, like, this game specifically getting a remaster seems very silly. I'm stoked about it though, because the game's actually good and getting more Shadow stuff. Like, this just feels like fan fiction announcement. So I'm like, I'm definitely here for it. It's a little weird.
It's an odd one to announce this way. Yeah. Like, if I feel like this would have been a summer announcement, or like a, oh, this is coming out in a couple of months type thing, for us to be in January, for them to say, oh yeah, we have a Sonic Generations remaster coming this fall, I'm like, I didn't need to know that right now. Like, I could have waited on that information, but I do love that they're doing something special with it. Again, this goes back to the conversation that I was mentioning with Until Dawn and what we've talked about before of like, hey, like, I think in some scenarios remasters are super dope, remasters can be really fun, but if you're gonna remaster a game that like has a 4K 60 way to play it, or has a way to play it in a modernized way, then add something. That's why like Last of Us No Return, I thought was a cool thing, right? Or like, you know, that's why I think that this works for me, where it is, oh, and here's like the shadow aspect of it that's gonna provide you with new content to play and like give you more longevity with it and give you a reason to come back.
The fan fiction part of it, Tim, just makes me think like Sega's gonna put out a tweet like, hey, that's not our game. We don't know who put that out.
Who's doing that? Then Sonic 3, the movie's coming out this December, and Shadow's featured in that. So this is them trying to put Shadow back in the mainstream. But
get that autumn date.
Autumn date.
Right in time for the movie.
I will say, though, that I am getting Sonic vibes. So it's not necessarily the same. But Bowser's Fury.
Oh.
Like Mario 3D World plus Bowser's Fury, like potentially, if this is like a Sonic Generations plus a Shadow like thing that is that type of thing, could be a hint at a direction they might go for future Sonic games. I'm excited, but
I also like the idea of, like, this is such a fucking nerdy thing to say, but Shadow coming back. Yeah, you know, like, I know being Roger jokes and, like, is also serious about how much he loves Shadow the Hedgehog on PS2. And, like, we went to the Sonic concert and they played Shadow the Hedgehog music. And we saw Roger from across the way, like, fucking going crazy and having a blast. And, like, Shadow's a character that is a recurring character. He comes back and, like, you know, it appears in other Sonic games, but there's not like a focus on Shadow. It's not like I'm here waiting for the next Shadow the Hedgehog game. I think, to your point, right, like, if this game comes out and you have Shadow in the movie, that could set us up for, hey, what if we made another Shadow the Hedgehog
give game? Give him a gun.
Or I just add him to the series more, right? Or feature him in the series more.
God bless. Then Zenless Zone Zero, again, in development. Andy, like,
This is like newer footage, I believe. It looks cool. It has looked cool since day one. So again, yeah, I'm right with you. What are you showing me that's new here in terms of just the fact that you are making this game for PlayStation 5 as well, which is like kind of a like duh, like you know, especially with all the other HoYoverse entries that have come to multiple platforms. That's not super surprising for me. But every time they still show it, like anytime I want to complain, I look at the visuals and I look at the art style, and it's stunning. It looks amazing. So I'm stoked to see more of it. But yeah, I'm kind of with you. What are you bringing to the table that is new this time, aside from awesome, insane visuals with cool particle effects?
Yeah, I tend to agree. I'm looking forward to it. Like when I played the demo or played the beta, the combat was really fun. And like, it is not only just like a really good looking game in terms of the visuals, but it's also a very smooth looking in playing game. Like when you're switching around between characters and another, like your secondary character comes in and like kind of swoops in a way and then switches you over, it's done very well. And I'm very impressed with some of what they're doing with it. But yeah, I want to see what the full thing looks like when it comes out in terms of the overall structure of the game.
Then we got a little Foam Stars commercial here, February 6th, coming to PlayStation Plus, some version of it at least. I'll never remember.
It is the game.
Sorry, nice. Some version of PlayStation Plus.
Gotcha.
Essential. What's it called?
Essential, yeah. Mike?
That's a win for the game. I mean, I'm very happy to hear that I don't have to pay full price if we don't want to for a weekend of fun with our friends. We've played it before at Summer Game Fest. I smiled and left going, you know what? I would play that again with my friends, right? And this is a game that I would encourage people to check out if you're looking for a fun little multiplayer arena shooter for a weekend, for a night. That's what Foam Stars is, and it is a fun, dumb time. So, yeah, I like this. I'm glad that it's right around the corner. I can't wait to give it a try and go back.
That seems like a lot of kind of the general sentiment from everybody that I've heard that's played it. Like, this game looked like a joke. It looked like it was going to be a meme, and then people played it at Summer Game Fest and said, oh, shit, actually fun. So,
yeah, I'm
looking forward to playing with you all.
We all played it there, you know, when me and Mike just beat the beard off to him. It was just embarrassing, you know what I mean? And I'm looking forward to doing that again, but us beating, you know, the snot out of, I don't know.
Not me.
It's in mid-max or something, you know what I mean? Like, get out there and have some fun.
Yeah. You want to get really deep into the weeds. We talk about the legs, what's the longevity, what's the microtransactions, what are they really planning on doing with
I thought you were
game?
Talking about the lore.
But I'll tell you, as like a consumer who wants to play games, yeah, I'm playing this for a night. Then we might not ever go back to it. That's how
we talked over and we shared our little foam, stories or whatever when the trailer was going and talked about the PlayStation Plus stuff. It turned out in there they were talking about Season Pass and stuff. I'll read a little bit of the blog if you don't mind. During today's State of Play, we revealed what to expect from Season 1 and Foam Stars as a whole. In addition to ranked matches and seasonal limited time content, characters, maps, and even additional game modes will be released over the span of this year. In this article, I'd like to express the rest. And he goes through to talk about Ranked Party, Extreme Party, Happy Friday Party, Season Pass updates every season, style of the Foam Stars, upcoming season information, blah, blah, blah. Like, they're saying the right things if you're trying to launch a games as a service, if you're trying to launch another one of these games you come in to play with your friends every so often. Let's talk about how we're going to support it for the year.
And then after Foam Stars, we got Dave the Diver coming to PlayStation this April with a Godzilla crossover coming in May. I
King
pulled
of
Tim.
Collabs.
I love within 2 seconds of the music playing, I'm like, it's fucking Godzilla. Yeah. I love Godzilla, man. Come on. Awesome. Love seeing him in games. But yeah, this it's cool. Like, I love these fun little collabs, especially from like smaller titles like this. And we've seen a lot more of them recently. Like, even looking at a Power Wash Simulator, of how much fun they've had with Final Fantasy and SpongeBob and things like that. Like, it's cool to see these type of collabs. Or even Dead Cells in Castlevania, I think, is another good example. Mm-hmm. We got V Rising 2024. Andy?
Yeah, I'm kind of echoing what Mike said earlier. It's a survival game that we tried out for a bit and never went back to. I also don't think that I was... Like, I think if it was to come out today and I were to try it out, I'd probably get really into it in the way that I loved Valheim and played the shit out of Valheim when we played that. But yeah, I mean, we'll see what sort of legs it has on console. I don't really know. A lot of reason why people like the PC side of things is because there's a lot of stuff you can do with modding, and that won't be super available here. But it's a very, very competent game. It plays very well. It has a lot of, it's a lot deeper than you might think it is, on just from it being like this top-down sort of, it kind of looks like Diablo in a lot of these moments, but it is, it's a survival crafting game. You're a vampire that has to kill people, and then you create like a little church to then feed yourself and be able to live longer, and it's at its core kind of a survival game. We'll see how it performs on PlayStation. I
want to read really the synopsis they had on their blog post, but then I won't have a question for you about it. Become the ruler of the night in V Rising, a solo or co-op vampire experience that combines the best of the survival and action RPG genres. In the signature survival style, you climb your way from the bottom of the food chain all the way to the top through grit, cleverness, and force of will. In a narrative twist, you don't start as vulnerable prey in the wilderness, aiming to evolve into a clever hunter. Instead, you take on the role of a weakened predator, seeking to reclaim its position as the ultimate force in a dangerous, hostile realm. In a land of humans and monsters that no longer has a place for you, it's your job to carve it out for yourself. That sounds awesome. I love all of that. How fucking survival-y is it? Because I don't love a survival game that really is in the weeds.
It's definitely more survival-y than Pal World.
Yes, it is.
It's okay. Closer to what I'd say Valheim and what Icarus was when you and I tried that out. It's definitely more resource-heavy, but maybe it has really awesome sort of accessibility stuff like Pal World had, where it's like, hey, turn down you needing food all the way down. Turn down water all the way down.
Okay.
I would love to see that for more survival games in the future. But yeah, I think you should still give it a shot because you felt those hooks when you were in Power World.
Yeah,
and
for sure.
Sort of like seeing the stuff that you're building affecting your gameplay and everything kind of working together.
Maybe I can glamour people just to do all that stuff for me like Power World.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. And you can suck them off. Vampire.
Oh, dude, I can't wait to suck off everybody in this town.
Yeah, yeah. This whole village is about to get sucked.
The village sucked.
Remember, you can go to patreon.com/kindoffunny or YouTube to get your membership and get the show ad-free. But for everyone else, here's a word from our sponsor.
Kind of Funny turns 9 years old today. We could have made it 9 days without your support. That's why 2024 is all about doubling down on our shows and making it simpler than ever for you to get the most out of our content. Our revamped Kind of Funny membership is your one-stop shop for all our amazing content, which now includes on a weekly basis, the Kind of Funny podcast, In Review, the Kind of Funny Games Cast, P.S. I Love You XOXO, the Kind of Funny X Cast, the brand new series Kind of Funny Game Showdown. Five episodes of Kinda Funny Games Daily, and five exclusive Gregway vlogs.
And 5 days of streaming fun with me and the gang here in our newly revamped streaming space. It's gonna be filled with a ton of laughter and a whole lot of shenanigans. We'll see you there.
That's more than 20 pieces of content a week from an 11-person independent team in San Francisco. That's a lot. And to get the most out of it, all we're asking for is $10. $10 gets you the Kinda Funny membership, and that entitles you to ad-free versions of the shows, the ability to watch the podcast live as we record them, and the exclusive access to my daily show, Gregway. You can get your Kinda Funny membership on patreon.com/kindoffunny or youtube.com/kindoffunnygames. Yes, we are expanding our Kinda Funny membership offering to YouTube, so people can take full advantage of the platform they prefer. If you want to go above and beyond the Kinda Funny membership to support us, we will still have higher Patreon tiers, albeit with some changed up perks. We just wanted to make the message as clear as possible that the $10 Kinda Funny membership is for the masses to get all the core content people love. Everything above that is very appreciated. The support means the world to us. You all are the best. But the $10 Kinda Funny membership available on both patreon.com/kindoffunny and youtube.com/kindoffunnygames is where we see the value of what we do. Kinda Funny is a dream come true, and we wouldn't have it without you. We hope if you've ever enjoyed the content, you can support us for at least a month as we prepare for our biggest year ever. Until next time, it's been our pleasure to serve you.
Then we get some Silent Hill stuff, a little dual shot here of Silent Hill, the short message, full game, free to play.
The message is short.
Available today. A lot of PT vibes there. looked like it was VR, but it doesn't seem to be. It seems to be just a first-person game.
The scariest place of all, social media. We wanted to make a new modern Silent Hill. As part of that, we wanted to explore how we could incorporate contemporary problems. We ended up looking at how modern youth communicate online and through phones, and the role that could play in a psychological horror story. For instance, a frightening thing about social media is how even insignificant individual comments can, in mass, build and build until they become this overwhelming wave of hate crashing down on you. I can't wait to fucking rock.
Dang, right? A little too close to home.
I can't wait to get in there.
We'll be playing. It's like, Andy's gained weight this year, right? Like, fuck.
a game about chat. That's crazy.
Yeah, this looks cool. I'm really interested to see what it ends up being and what the response is to it. Like, it looks rad, but it's also, I feel very hard to put out a PT-like game now, especially when you're Konami. Like, I feel like, and especially when it is actually Silent Hill. Paris, what do you think?
I mean, Silent Hill hasn't traditionally been my thing, but this looks interesting. This looks like something that is going to be a more modern take's probably the wrong word, but a newer take on the franchise. So definitely, I'd check it out for sure.
Following messages from her friend, this is off the PlayStation Store, by the way, her friend Maya, Anita finds herself at a crumbling apartment block infamous for rumors of suicides. Drawn inside, Anita soon finds her sense of reality shattered as she encounters bizarre, otherworldly spaces and twisted monsters. Maya's message was clear, quote, "Can't leave till you find it," end quote. But what is it that Anita is really looking for? An all-new modern Silent Hill experience powered by the latest in game technology, now available free to play on the PlayStation 5.
It's wild to think back, like, in 2015/2016, what the conversation/relationship was between Kojima and Konami and Silent Hill and PT and all that. And fast forward to today, where in the same showcase, we get the reveal of a Silent Hill game that is basically just PT that they're putting out the same day. And at the end of the showcase, it is Kojima being like, oh, here's Death Stranding 2. And then also,
I'm doing
a new game that's basically going to be Metal Gear Solid.
Time's a flat.
That's wild that happened.
Yeah.
I'm still confused by the free to play angle. Like, how, why, what's the,
you get the hype again for Silent Hill?
You think?
Right. I think there's a lot of new fans like me who haven't played Silent Hill. And when you announce Silent Hill 2, the remake afterwards, right? Like, you got to get me excited about that. And a free to play game, hopefully a short PT like experience. Sure. If this is an hour to 3 hours, you got me. And that's what I want out of this. And so I'm going to go home and download this. And maybe I then go, ooh, man, I'm all about Silent Hill now. I want to know more. And then they're like, guess what? We got more for you. Give me your $70 on this remake.
I think just in this day and age, I'm just like, well, what's the hook? Where are you going to, what's the don't fuck me angle that the devil's going to get me and be like, yeah, it's a free game. But by the way, our credit card info, you know, like
at the end, you have to promise to buy Silent Hill.
It's actually obligated.
Yeah.
Listen, I'm excited. We gave you a free game. Will you buy this one?
And then, Silent Hill 2. This is, I need a little help here because I don't exactly remember, but I think this is, I mean, this is definitely the most we've seen in the game, but this is the first time we've actually seen, like,
real gameplay of it, right?
Like, before we just got the kind of little teaser. Silent Hill 2 is, like, the one for the franchise, so it's cool it's being remade, and seems like they're kind of nailing what they're going for here.
Tim, what do you think about how it looked? Because
I was going to say, are they nailing it?
Because seeing I immediately think to the Resident Evil remakes and how good those look. Mm. And I look at this and I'm like, I'm not a Silent Hill person, so I can't judge.
That's my thing, is I'm also not really a Silent Hill person. Mm. Like, this was definitely a rental for me that I played all the time. But like, it looks like they're nailing the vibe of what Silent Hill is compared to Resident Evil. I agree. I prefer the look of Resident Evil. I also just prefer Resident Evil overall. Mm. But I feel like there's a cloudiness to Silent Hill that I think they're kind of nailing here. And I feel like the art direction really like lends itself to that.
These animations look funky.
I think that's part of it. I think they're kind of remaking it correctly for what it is. And correct me if I'm wrong, chat, about this, but this looks like a Silent Hill 2 remake. It looks faithful. It looks like they're going to deliver what you want, because I feel like, unlike Resident Evil 2, and even Resident Evil, people got upset about, the purists out there, I feel like Silent Hill is more of like a purist game. Like, they don't want too many changes. It's like,
this is a straight up, like, this isn't a reimagining. Yeah, like, we are taking the original game and we're making it look prettier, but it's going to play the exact same way.
Yeah.
So, that makes sense.
We'll see.
Real quick, before we move on to Judas, I'm sorry, I do have breaking news. I have now the press release for Sonic Cross Shadow Generations with even more information for you about Shadow's thing, okay? Sonic Cross Shadow Generations introduces a brand new Shadow story campaign where his old nemesis, Black Doom, returns and threatens to take over the world. fans can play as Shadow and dive into his dark past to unlock his inner powers, explore his backstory, and confront familiar foes to save the world and prove why he's known as the ultimate life form.
Let's go.
He is known as the ultimate life form, dude. Gotta save
it's
Maria.
It's crazy because I was just having a thought last night of like, man, I think Tekken 8 has a chance of just being my game of the year because I'm loving it so much. And now I'm like, fuck, dude.
I thought the ultimate life form? I thought you were going to be in bed like, who is the ultimate life form? It's got to be Shadow. Mewtwo or Shadow?
God. Andy, did you hear about Shadow's voice actor rumor for the movie?
Hayden Christensen?
Yeah.
But at first, the first rumors of it being Keanu were a lot cooler.
You were also saying that Kristen Ritter is in the new Sonic movie, and they're trying to figure out, like, is she Amy Rose or is she going to be Rouge the Bat?
Oh, shit.
Oh, Rouge the Bat would be sick for her.
We're living out here, everyone. Judas from Ghost Story Games. Now that you've seen a little bit more of this, Greg, you still think this looks like a PS Plus game?
No. That I don't, I mean, who knows?
Yeah.
And I don't even remember saying that, but I understand. I understand. It was like Greg's
it was
comment.
On the Stray. Like, yeah, it was yeah, this yeah. and Stray, I think.
You still want to talk shit?
I think they're, I think they're going to go a bit bigger with this again as this looks. I got the description here, not the description. I got a paragraph from the blog for you. The Who is Judas trailer offers a deeper look at the game's setting aboard the Mayflower, a spacefaring city whose citizens are trained to tear each other apart for even the most minor infractions, and where machines control every aspect of business, art, and government. You, as Judas, are the driver of every event in the mysterious story with a new cast of characters to get to know and to change in a world where every decision you make affects how the story unfolds. That sounds like a fucking great game right there.
Yeah, man.
You know what I mean?
It's interesting because here in the same state of play, I feel like we got two game directors who've now moved on to on something else, and they're basically making the sequels, you know, to their biggest games because that's what this is. BioShock.
Yeah.
This is 100%. Yeah, yeah, right.
100%. So I'm interested. It looks really good to me.
Yeah, this looks rad. Yeah.
And I wouldn't have it any other way. Like, this is what I want Ken Levine to be working on. Yeah. I want these weird-ass robots with all these cool powers and just having these visual upgrades, I think, is just taking the game a long way. And again, look at this weird-ass horse enemy. Yeah. What the hell is that, Tim?
Yeah.
I don't know, but it looks awesome.
The hand thing was cool.
It's crazy how accurate the art design looks to like a BioShock. Like the way that like the character models like look and like the lighting shines off of them and like the polish of their skin, I guess, and like the guns and shit. It all looks so BioShock in a way where if I didn't know Judas was a game and you showed me a screenshot, I'd be you would say it's BioShock.
Yep. Yeah, exactly. That's a good point. Mike, would that do anything for you?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I liked BioShock a lot. And if you were like, hey, the guy who made BioShock is making a new game with a new team, I would close my eyes and imagine this. And so, yeah, I'm super excited for this.
They're like, actually, it's a baseball game. Like, no, I don't want that from you.
then we got some PSVR 2 stuff. We got Vertigo Games and Deep Silver for Metro Awakening VR. Look cool. Look like a VR game.
Yep.
Right?
Yeah. Now, I mean, that's VR games look like that. That's what it looks like.
I think it looked cool and looked good. The next one looked like a VR game.
Okay, we're talking about that.
But we'll get there when we get there.
Metro, it has a setting. It's got a vibe.
Of course.
You know what I mean? It's got a great franchise.
I thought it looked good. I thought it looked good.
Someone said it in the chat, but I'm the same way, right? As someone who doesn't own a PSVR 2, this doesn't get me excited to buy one, but I go, man, I hope that comes to MetaQuest.
Well, great news for you. In 2024, it is coming to PlayStation VR 2, MetaQuest, and Steam VR. Metro Awakening stays true to the series' hallmark storytelling with an all-new standalone narrative, an original concept penned by Dmitry Golovsky, which serves as a prequel to the beloved Metro 2033. You assume the role of Serdar, a doctor on a quest to reunite with his wife by traveling through the mutant-ridden tunnels beneath a post-apocalyptic Moscow. As Serdar, you will navigate a complex storyline that tests beliefs in the rational and tempts you to embrace the awakening of the being you are destined to become. In addition, development continues separately at 4A Games on the next mainline installment of the Metro series.
Okay, that's what I like to hear. I'm in.
Beautiful. I mean, this looks like
looks
like the Half-Life. You were just talking about Half-Life Alyx earlier. This is like probably the best looking VR thing
that we're seeing
on
PlayStation VR 2. Yeah. Well, yeah, I mean, Call of the Mountain looks good, but the
of course,
freaking workout.
Forgive me for forgetting about Call of the Mountain.
Don't get me started on Call of the Mountain.
But yeah, the next game, it looks like an Oculus Quest 1 sort of thing.
Yeah,
Legendary Tales coming February 8th, 2024, so not too long at all.
Gameplay looks cool.
Yeah.
It's just the visuals that don't look like modern. I mean, you can't have this right after what we just saw. Like, that's tough.
Yeah, this, but he's with his homie.
Multiplayer.
Bob Wolf.
Yeah, Jerry.
Shout out Bob Wolf.
Jerry's always been holding the team back, though, I've always said.
Oh, man.
It's like the meme of like, when like one of your friends starts dating somebody, and like you like, or when you're when you start dating somebody, and one of your friends is like, "Oh man, I hope they're funny or whatever." Like this almost this I look at this and I'm like, I look at this and I'm like, "Hey, maybe it's fun."
Fuck,
yeah.
What?
Yeah. Look at it. What are you showing me?
Yeah. Wow. No, I feel you. I feel you.
Maybe it's fun.
What they're showing you is a dark fantasy RPG with medieval weapons, armor, dazzling magic, and an RPG attribute system. Skill trees and dungeons. Not enough? Well, we've got crafting, potion making, randomly generated items, collectible items, and a quest-driven storyline. On the blog, they put down 5 bullet points they thought were important. They described them. You can go read. It's designed from the ground up for multiplayer VR. It's physics-based fighting. Traits and skill trees reimagined in VR. Dark fantasy dungeons, quests, monsters, and bosses. And then, of course, the unique place VR 2 features, which you'd expect, the haptic and the eye tracking.
I think it's really is just the immediately showing this after Metro, because like that doesn't look a whole lot different than Asgard's Wrath, a 10 out of 10 on IGN. You know what I mean? Like,
sure,
I don't see a whole lot of visual improvements or this game looking that much better than what we just saw. I think it is just showing that after this Metro VR game, and that game looks stunning and visually amazing, and we're used to VR looking a certain way. And Metro did not look like that. But this looks like what we're kind of used to. And it's just kind of tough to have that Coke-Pepsi challenge right back to back. Pepsi's the better one, by the way.
The multiplayer there, kind of impressive. Massively multiplayer. Mm-hmm. Every PSVR 2 player was on screen at once right there.
Oh! Moving
on. Dragon's Dogma 2.
Just because he's mad at Foam Stars doesn't mean he's not funny.
Wow, that was wild, Tim.
Dragon's Dogma 2 coming March 22nd. Another one, no news here, right? Just kind of... Here's a cool game.
I mean, even cooler footage. I'm with you that there's nothing really new that they showed aside from, cooler enemy encounters and visuals. I think this game looks freaking awesome. This is bringing like that high fantasy hype that I've been waiting for quite some time.
The shot of him on the dragon is fucking sick.
The more I see this game, the more excited I get for it, especially coming off the demo I did where, like, you know, I got to play some of the basic classes, like some of the lower level classes. And like that was one where I came back and I was like, yeah, it seems cool. Like I like Dragon's Dogma 1 is one that bypassed me. I didn't get to play that game, but I can see some of what they're going for here, even though some of it feels a bit rooted back in like the PS3 version. But seeing what they're doing
like
here
with right
the
there, yeah,
amazing.
Yes, like really, seeing really what they're good. Doing with the action has me excited about where I can take my classes or where I can take my vocations and like what the gameplay evolves into, because this looks way more impressive than what even I played when I was playing it.
Yeah, not being stuck to one class, being able to kind of be super fluid with what you're doing and not like, well, I made a healer, I'm just stuck with these abilities now, or I made a mage, I'm stuck here now, I can't use my melee weapons aren't as good. Based on everything they've been saying, it seems like you're gonna allow to be super flexible. Look at that shit. Yeah. That's like a fadeaway freaking bow and arrow. Paris, what's your history with Dragon's Dogma 1?
Zero.
Yeah, same here. Just kind of like came and went. I was not really there for
honestly, this has really not been on my radar at all until we saw this today. And like these boss encounters look fantastic. And Coke is better than Pepsi.
Yeah.
We got Until Dawn Enhanced for PS5 and PC. This has been heavily rumored. A movie was confirmed a couple weeks ago too. I said this during the live reaction, but I'm a little let down. Like, this is one of those ones Bless and I were talking on Games Daily about, like, does this even need a remaster, it being a PS4 game, and it didn't run that great. There was some frame rate issues back in the day, but it was kind of like, all right, if they're going to do a PS5 version, I was kind of expecting to be a little bit more impressed when the character turned around and you see her face. Doesn't look bad by any means, but I just expected kind of more of a improvement, because it's not like Last of Us 2, get it, like what it got. It's like, this seems like it being such an early PS4 title to PS5 now. I mean, we're talking about almost 10 years, you know?
Yeah, I don't know if there was a whole lot, because this isn't a remake. This just seems like kind of...
does say at one point, like, built from the ground up for PS5 and PC, I'm pretty sure.
So, that's let me
crazy.
Read for you.
It doesn't look like it.
No, it's rebuilt in Unreal Engine 5 is what is the way they say it. This is the blog post. I'm not throwing it at you, Barrett. I'm throwing it at the blog post. Blog post goes...
Barrett can take it. Throw it at him.
No, I don't want to hurt him. Rebuilt in Unreal Engine 5, Until Dawn has seen enhancements across the board, all made with passion and care for the original from the team... I'm sorry. all made with passion and care for the original from the team of horror levels, lovers, film fanatics, and veteran game makers at Ballistic Moon. Of course, not Supermassive, the people who made this. It's coming to PS5 and PC this year. Until Dawn has been rebuilt with the latest tools and techniques. New and improved animations build on the success of the original character performances. Characters, environments, and VFX have been upgraded, all for a truly enhanced cinematic horror experience. We use a broader cinematic tonal color palette and new perspectives to make the story more nuanced and emotional. We've been brave enough to shine a light into the dark, unseen corners of Blackwood Mountain and added a third-person camera, which means you can now look behind the curtain of the original game, exploring enhanced and new locations and with new interactions and collectibles. From the jump, when they were like, hey, the rumor was we're going to do this thing, we're going to have another Until Dawn, blah, 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 or the remake or whatever, I was like, I don't want that, need it. I don't know if people are clamoring for it, right? I understand that if you've played it, we all loved Until Dawn when it popped off. I had a great time playing it, period. I had a great time seeing it go from a completely different game to being this game. And, of course, the PSX presentation they did that was just phenomenal for it. But Supermassive has done so much since then that I don't feel like we're hurting for it. I loved The Quarry. You know, I think it's a more modern take, but blah, 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 blah. The real hook to why this, I think, is getting put out this way is the final paragraph. Also, stay tuned for more on the newly announced film adaptation of Until Dawn from PlayStation Productions and Sony Screen Gems to be directed by David F. Sandberg, Lights Out, Annabelle Creation, and a screenplay written by Gary Dauberman, It Chapter 2, The Nun and The Nun 2, and Blair Butler, The Invitation. I think this is exactly what we've talked about with Horizon, with The Last of Us, and now Until Dawn. Let's get it set so that when this hits, people can go to the store and say, I love the movie, there's the game, there's the PlayStation 5, pick it up. Rather than pick up the PlayStation 5 and go, oh, Google, okay, well, there's a PlayStation 4 and it runs here and I could do They want this to be turnkey for people that you go see the PlayStation, whatever it is, production, the movie, the TV show, and you can go buy the game right away.
Yeah, especially with the PS4 version doesn't run as great, right? Yeah. Especially if it's framing and all that stuff.
Like, I'm gonna be standing outside the theater and just like selling.
Yeah, if you're gonna put up the movie and people are gonna go to the store and immediately buy the game, you might as well have an up to date version that is, oh, this runs smoothly.
Will any of these stores be selling physical media by then? Who knows?
No. But yeah. Also, I think we skipped Rise of the Ronin.
We did. Rise of the Ronin, March 22nd as well.
Looks good. I'm excited for that one. You know what I mean? Team Ninja, obviously a very talented studio. Usually not my wheelhouse. And, you know, I've tried before, like back at IGN with games or whatever. This one, the setting, the seeming story, what you're doing in it, like a more Assassin's Creed Team Ninja game. Like, yep. Yes, mm-hmm. I want to try that, and I hope I can get into it, and I hope these cards flip the fuck out. What the hell are you doing? Get off the building I'm protecting.
Yeah, I'm all about this. Like, I think the one thing that didn't hit for me as much during this trailer were maybe the visuals, but it being open world, it being like a Team Ninja game, I don't necessarily expect the most high-end visuals, even though we have other studios that are able to bring that. What I look forward to from Team Ninja is, all right, how's the combat? Like, am I going to have fun playing this thing? And then also what we're seeing in the trailer here where, you know, he has the wings that he's using to fly around and then he dropped immediately on a horse. Like, that type of stuff that keeps me in the game, that keeps the gameplay fun, that keeps it fluid, I think is going to be a lot of what drives it. And then also, yeah, like, how's the combat going to hit? I'm so far from watching what we see in the trailer. I think it looks good. I think it looks fun. Coming off of Wo Long Fallen Dynasty last year, and I know people love the Neo games, Team Ninja knows what they're doing with that stuff. And so, and also there's like another boss fight scenario, I think, in the trailer that we saw that looks really fun, that looks really cool and difficult and brutal. And so I'm looking forward to that stuff. This trailer did excite me. And so.
Yeah, completely agree. I mean, the visuals look good enough that if you nail the gameplay and as far as the open world goes, that there's enough things to do when you're in there, I'm all in. This looks really good to me.
The going from the flight to landing on the horse, like, I was so blown away by that when I saw the Black Desert, not online, but
Crimson
the
something,
yeah, that newer one that they're Crimson coming out Desert. With, where it looks like they're, oh, Crimson Desert, you're right, yeah. You're right, where it looks like it's a million games in one, and then seeing it's like, oh shit, you got beat to the punch with that move, because that shit blew me away in that trailer, and it was equally awesome here.
And then we move on to Kojima here, Death Stranding 2 on the beach, 2025, Mike.
Yo, pass me that Kojima joint because I'm all in, Tim Geddes. Are you kidding me? This guy continues to wow me. The Decima engine and what that team does make this thing look so incredible where you go, is this the future, Paris? Is this what it's going to be? And I'm so excited. As someone who started Death Stranding, didn't fall in love with it and play it all the way through, I watched the video, and that is my Death Stranding experience. I'm excited for this because, you know, the one thing that stuck out to me, besides the incredible vistas, all of the mechanics, all the look, was that one of, like, they automated the porter system. So it's like, so am I still delivering packages, or am I just popping off now?
You better.
I do want to see what that is, because it is interesting to me of, like, am I getting away from just running across the map?
Bro, you're missing the plot. Bro. They automated it. They think they've got it all figured out, but they know that only Sam Bridges.
Shit.
Sam Porter Bridges is the one who's going to do
delivers.
This. Yep. And show you why this doesn't
He delivers.
Work.
Paris, you a Death Stranding guy at all?
No, I'm not, because I will never forgive Kojima for what he did during Metal Gear Solid 2. No, I'm kidding. Half kidding. The first Death Stranding didn't really grab me, but I'm sitting here watching how batshit insane this is. Mm-hmm. It almost makes me want to go back and understand the story so that I can jump into this and play it, because clearly Kojima, he is not afraid to go off in the left field with the things that he does.
This looks so big budget that, Tim, hey, you have family in town. They don't give a shit about James Cameron's Avatar.
Yep.
But you got to take them to see Avatar 2, because it's going to blow their mind visually. Yeah. This looks like one of those, like,
totally.
You have to see it in person, because these character models and everything just looks unbelievably realistic. And again, you're adding in all the weird Kojima shit with Yoji Shinkawa popping off with art direction and making, you know, these hard surface mech, whatever the hell they are, look awesome. I'm so stoked for whatever the hell this is going to be. Also, Troy Baker with the makeup looks like when... like when Motley Crue does like a 50th anniversary show.
Sure.
Troy Baker, way more attractive than this, you know, computerized version of him. But this looks like a 70-year-old with like makeup on, kind of doing one last show at the fucking Las Vegas Sphere. Yeah. Sort of thing, yes. You know?
The amount of talent in this game, like both from the acting perspective and like you're talking about, Andy, like with the art direction and just like all the names that they showed on the screen throughout the trailer, like, my God, the budget and again, just the sheer passion, talent combining to just make something weird as hell. I feel like a couple of us here share the vibe of like Death Stranding, not for me, but like it's so hard for it not to be with how cool this looks.
Yeah, I think that's the thing for me is Death Stranding is for me, even though on paper, like if you told me that I would be into a game about delivering packages, I'd be like, no, I'm good. Like that is not my jam. But
it turned out he was talking about Lake.
Yeah, and like, well, as I got into it, I was like, oh no, this is like, there's a gameplay loop here that works, that is really fun, and I'm very excited to see them evolve with Death Stranding 2, because, you know, Death Stranding 1 was, hey, it is the balance, it is you building bridges so that people online can maybe use your bridge, and you get the likes, and you have this thing of, hey, we're all in these disparate worlds, but we're working together, because that is the thing of the game, being separated, being in this post-apocalyptic world that's been, you know, fucked up by the fucking all I forget what they're called, like the ghosts, right? And like
BTs.
I was gonna say BBs, but that's the actual babies. But like, you know, you are this delivery guy that is bringing things together, and you have this online connectivity that is bringing all the players together. And I think Death Stranding 1 has like a beautiful message to it, and like a beautiful way of bringing all this stuff together that you usually don't see in video games. And Death Stranding 2 is continuing that in such a fucking wild manner, looking at this trailer, right? Like, it all looks cool as hell. Like, you see you see Troy Baker with a guitar, with the face paint, finding a fucking robot that has a sword, and like, you don't realize that you're going to be spending the bulk of your time delivering packages in this game. Like, that is going to be what the gameplay is. And I think there's something so beautiful about that. I think there's something so beautiful about the fact that you can make a game that is just about, like, whatever. It doesn't have to be guns, even though we see guns on the wall. And, you know, Death Stranding 1 has some shooting in it. But, like, it doesn't have to be what you get out of so many action games. It can be Kojima going, let me just make the fucking weirdest shit that I can and make it about a message that I really believe in.
Right.
And it can get a sequel. And get, like, a fucking budget that is comparable, if not more, than the Spider-Man and, like, God of War games. Because this looks incredible.
Kojima just has such an artistic vision when it comes to things, where you look at it and similar, we're talking about Judas, of like, we know, like, this looks like Bioshock. It's like, this looks like Kojima. And it's like the fight we just saw, like, I'm getting so many vibes of the Vamp versus Raiden Metal Gear Solid 4 trailer that they dropped. That was like a 15-minute long trailer that we're just like super in on. But even just the way the cameras use, like, I remember seeing the Ground Zeroes before, I think it was even called that, just like the original showing of that, and just being like, how do games look like this? Like, and since then, nothing really does. Like, there's like a vibe to the way that it feels so handheld, like you're in it, that like only Kojima and the team are able to figure out. I don't know why, but it's all over that, and it looks awesome.
When I saw that bridge being washed away by the river, all I could think to myself was like, man, somewhere during this like review period, me and Daniel Dwyer are going to rebuild that bridge. I saw Daniel Dwyer all over Death Stranding. Anytime I would like rebuild something, I would see Daniel Dwyer helped make this. I was like, he's out there somewhere.
He's out there somewhere.
Let's build this bridge.
Oh, my shillelagh.
Exactly.
And then, yeah, then it ended with classic Kojima, like, boom, Megaton announcement here. Coming back to espionage action for PlayStation, the culmination of his 40-year career. Could this be any more exciting besides us getting a name and an actual, like, image of it in some way? I don't think so.
There was a tweet that Kojima put out that I'm trying to... Oh, here it is. Kojima tweeted out in regards to this. Pheasant, working title, will be the third new original IP since the establishment of Kojima Productions. It is a completely new action espionage for the next generation. Oh. It will be created... Next generation pretty much, yeah, confirms PS6, I guess, which is pretty cool. It will be created using cutting-edge technology and the best talents from around the world.
Can you imagine if it's a fucking launch game?
Be wild. Both from film and video games. Of course, this is an interactive game, but the look, story, theme, cast, acting, fashion, sound, etc. are all at the next level of digital entertainment that could be called a movie. I don't know what that means.
I love it, man.
But it's provocative.
You know, they're always saying weird shit, and it's like going back to, I remember, Greg, when we were in Australia and you were interviewing Kojima, and this was like in the lead up to Death Stranding when it still didn't feel like it was ever actually going to come out, where it's like, is this a real game or are you just going to talk about it on stage a bunch of times? And he's like, maybe we're playing the game now and all the social connection and stuff. And then the game comes out and it's like, it delivered that. It delivered that pitch. It was weird, but it did it. And now we're seeing with Overdose, like whatever that ends up being, like the direction they're taking it with the horror conglomeration and all that. Like, it looks very interesting and cool. This all just sounds like this is the dream. This is Kojima's dream that they were talking about. Combining movies and Metal Gear, but completely with, you imagine, the biggest budget humanly possible for this. Like, what I'm interested in is this, the movie game, like whatever that looks like. At the end of the day, is it just going to be a game? Is it going to be something similar to Quantum Break?
Sure.
Right? Something like that. Or is this going to be a real push? Like, what if there's some collaboration with an HBO?
Well,
or something like where it actually is more of like a bigger production TV movie type thing, or Netflix even.
Immediately, I'm thinking that like either it's a movie or a series that is like you watch first before the game or vice versa. Like these two things will lead directly into each other, along with a lot of live action AMV sort of stuff that happens in the game. I think this will be some sort of series or movie that maybe doesn't hit theaters, but it's like you have to do one if you want to get the other one.
There was Metal Gear Solid 5. I'm like trying to look it up because I remember there being like something similar to this where Metal Gear Solid 5 was meant to be like an episodic thing, and that started with Ground Zeroes. And there was also like a separate interview, I think years after Metal Gear Solid, where Kojima has talked about wanting to make smaller episodic projects, right? And like having that feed into a thing. And I think we would always compare it to maybe what a Telltale's doing, or like some, or maybe what Hitman has done in the past. I wonder if it could be that. Like, I wonder if this Pheasant project could be a, hey, like, it is, we're putting out, Pheasant?
I'm just saying it, like, what?
Pheasant.
Pheasant.
But, like, what?
What does it mean?
So, I don't mean it,
I just, physical interact? No.
Physical intelligence is, I would think, the easiest thing.
What if it's AI, an anagram?
It maybe, sounds like something Rahul would say.
Oh, Pheasant.
In it? Yeah, see, like, it's just a British
Well, I
thing.
Think of Sigint.
That's what I was, I was like, this sounds like something in Metal Gear.
Yeah, I mean, again, it could be this, like, hey, part one is a book, part two is a movie, part three is the game, or this physical interactive thing. I think that's got to be what it kind of stands for, right?
What I was going to say is, I want to know the pitch. I want to be in that room that Kojima has successfully pitched, not only to PlayStation, to invest all this time and money into these cutting edge projects that he's doing. He's done the same thing with Xbox, clearly, with what they're doing, but also Hollywood too. The major talent and people that he's getting in Hollywood to invest into these games is incredible. We're not seeing anybody else in the gaming industry right now being able to pull off what he's doing. Because I was saying to you, Greg, he's doing Death Stranding 2 right now. He's about to wrap that up. He's doing whatever he's doing with Xbox, and he's going to be doing, let's just call this Metal Gear 12, right? He's doing all this stuff at the same time. It's impressive. I want to know how he's pulling this off.
I think it's like a lot of just big Hollywood visionaries having enough respect for him and going like, no, you want to work with that guy. Go, like, he wants to work with so and so. You don't know him. Yeah. You need to work with this guy. He's a visionary in this gaming
sphere.
Isn't
that the story from Norman Reedus, right? That like somebody passed him, or maybe Mads, somebody for one of the big names he had was literally when he got the script, his person was like, you have to do it. You have to do it because it's Hideo Kojima. And I think that's what you're seeing with people
Del
like Jordan.
Jordan Peele.
Jordan Peele, right, is a fan of games, so he knew who he was. So you're having that crossover with the people, you know, who have been nurtured creatively on his work, getting to a point where they're doing something amazing too and can pay it forward, work with him, talk to him.
I really hope Hideo Kojima is not the last Kojima that we get. You know, like, I can't think of anybody else in the industry that's able to do it on this level in terms of what Paris is talking about. Making an exclusive AAA thing for Xbox, one for PlayStation, also working on a Metal Gear follow-up, which is a cross-media type endeavor and probably getting paid millions and millions of dollars to do all this. I don't know if there's anybody else that's going to be able
to
do this.
Shake the crystal ball. And when PlayStation holds on to Neil Druckmann just a bit too tightly, he says, fuck this.
I think even Neil Druckmann, I think Neil, like when you go down the list, you get to, all right, Neil and then Sam Lake, and then you start to find names. I don't know if any of them are, I guess Neil with the Last of Us TV show.
Totally. That's my thing. I think Neil's gone to a different level, right? When he's hanging out at the Emmys with Pedro Pascal, I'm like, oh, right, that's your life now. You know what I mean? Like, it's not just talking.
I feel like Kojima is so one of a kind with the kind of people that he's working with and like the kind of projects he's making with them.
But I think what's interesting about it is the whole thing goes back to what I was saying, right? Of like, now you're in such an interesting ecosystem where you have people who have grown up playing Naughty Dog game. You know what I mean? Like, it's that idea where the cycle feeds itself, and his games have become so mainstream, not in terms of success, but in terms of the amount of people who play games and love games and understand they're not just for children. That as you have these generations continue to step into these roles as writers, assistant directors, directors, creators, then they're going to have the same thing of, oh, well, it is the fact that I loved Ghost of Tsushima so much, so I want to go talk to somebody at Sucker Punch. It's not the same as a Kojima yet, but I think those seeds are planted.
And it's a comment. There was somebody in chat that mentioned, like, all tours in video games are dangerous, right? And I'm not going to agree or disagree, because I think there are definitely bad examples out there that we've talked about before. But, like, and I'm not even talking about, like, just an all tour. I think the fact that, Kojima can make a Death Stranding, high budget.
Your point makes so much sense.
Yeah.
Because, who else are you going to talk about? You're going to talk about Neil. I mean, on a much smaller level, but toss him out there, Tim Schafer.
Yeah.
But it's that idea, like, now you're talking about who've been picked up by exclusive deals, right, or whatever. And, like, even Sam Lake, I feel like, is just finally with Alan Wake 2 and After Control, finally getting his just reward and due of people like, oh, that's Sam Lake. I know who that is.
But I think that's the key point of what you made. Kojima has remained independent through all of this. He's not tied down to one platform. He can go work with whoever he wants.
Partnerships, baby.
Right, and his stuff also, just his stuff comes out too.
Yeah.
Like, that's the other thing. I feel like I know Last of Us 2 was what, 2020? I feel like I'm still going to wait another maybe 4 years for the next Naughty Dog thing from Neil, right? I feel like, you know, Todd Howard waiting for the next Elder Scrolls is going to take forever. Kojima put out Death Stranding in like 2019 and is about to put Death Stranding out too in a year. And like, he put out PT and then put out Metal Gear Solid 5 like very closely after that. Like, there's a level of output actually coming out from him in a way that is really hard to do for somebody who's making things on that level.
Greg, don't discount Oreo Ration. Like, come on.
That's true.
About a visionary in the industry.
Oh, I mean, if you're talking about, you know, YouTube auteurs, it's definitely me. You know what I mean?
Yeah, of course.
We got the very interesting kind of drone zoom out of them showing they're in Hollywood,
they're
baby.
Sony Pictures, Columbia Pictures, and Pheasant.
Love it. And then a little tease for February 6th, getting another State of Play for Final Fantasy VII Rebirth with some fun announcements we're not going to want to miss. Very interested in what that could be at this point. You know, game's so close.
Apex Legends tie-in.
Chocobos.
Another demo? Like, didn't Final Fantasy 16 get a demo?
Yeah, they're big. Final Fantasy's big on demos, so that's a good pull, actually. Like, they did it for 15, for 16, and for 7.
I would love it.
Remake.
If it carried your progress to the main game.
That'd be sick.
That would be cool.
I don't think that's how 16 worked, was like kind of disappointing, but I would love that. Just gonna throw that out there.
Yeah, good call, Barrett.
They'll
very
flip the switch
call.
Right now.
Any final thoughts on this, boys?
I had a great time.
Yeah,
what a good time. Even if, I mean, the Kojima stuff obviously is carrying so much here at the end, but even without that, I thought we moved. Even with the games that weren't mine necessarily, I enjoyed. They had something in there. I'm excited for the Silent Hill game.
My only thing, this isn't really a critique, it's more of a curiosity. Obviously, the Kojima thing that we got at the end was pretty big for a state of play. They literally could have held this to some big major showcase they had, right? Is that setting an expectation now for state of plays to always get a, here's a future thing that we're working on way down the road type of thing?
I think that what we saw a couple of weeks ago with Xbox, where we see it with this, I think we're in a new era in a everyone learning what the effects of remote work and,
yeah.
and then the pandemic and everything, and just also the PS5 and Xbox Series X being out there, things like the Steam Deck popularizing PC gamer more PC gaming more than ever. I feel like there's like a reset period happening where however they've done showcases in the past, I think is going to slowly change until we just get like a new normal, which is what do we actually have to talk about? Like,
right,
I would have
right.
never thought we'd see Indiana Jones at that level of same. Showcase,
agreed.
But we did because that's what they had.
Yeah.
And I feel like when you look at PlayStation, I'm shocked we didn't get Conquered at all, right?
Yeah, that was gonna, bring that up.
I feel
up.
Like that was kind of like mm-hmm. teased along with all this stuff.
And that goes on to kind of like my final thing on it is I do wish that we got a little bit more 2024 dates. Like Death Stranding 2 being 2025, obviously take your time. Don't try to rush a game that's not ready yet. But I think that paints 2024 for PlayStation as like a, okay, what does the second half look like? What does that fall look like? And maybe that's Concord, but also if it is Concord, that game is going to have to be really good. And if it's not that, then what is, like, what does the year look like in terms of that? Because right now it is Final Fantasy VII, Rise of the Ronin, Helldivers, and then
Stellar Blade.
I feel like we need more than that for first party PlayStation in 2024, but they still have a lot of time to tell us and show us.
Also, chat corrected me. Final Fantasy XVI's demo did carry over. I was thinking about Lies of P.
Well, there you go, everyone. Let us know in the comments below what you thought of this state of sorry. Play. You had to do it. Sometimes you just gotta do it.
I'm sorry.
Tim, before you fully sign off,
mm-hmm.
Mike Doggy Dog, are we about to go turn off the lights and play Silent Hill?
You got a free afternoon?
I got an hour, yeah.
Come on, bro. Let's go get weird right now.
I already downloaded it to my everybody. PlayStation. I'll go turn
I guess
it off.
If you're watching on Twitch, you can just keep hanging out. They're going to go play some Silent Hill if they can. And then after that, we got, or if you're watching on, actually, yeah, I don't know how this is going to work. Barrett, if you want to pop in.
I don't know. We'll figure it out.
We'll figure it out.
If you're on YouTube, stay tuned and figure it out. Just go to Twitch. Go to Twitch and make it easy for everybody. Love you all. Bye.